So basically, aside from dealing with COVID and working on that, are you doing anything else there aside from maybe just emergency visits?
Well, we're doing, first I want to say to the listeners, we are doing everything clinically that we feel is safe for our patients when they come through the door. And what we're talking about essentially are things that we deem to be urgent or essential. And so we certainly are seeing any type of an emergency. Our walk-in clinic that's also right beside our ED, we're seeing walk-in patients as well. We are still doing some procedures and surgeries. And what you have to do with procedures and surgeries is you rely on your clinicians to determine what cases really need to be done, because if you don't do them, you'd be putting the patient at risk. With our outpatient specialties, for example, orthopedics, general surgeon, and other specialties, and then also primary care, we're still seeing those patients in person that we feel that our clinicians feel need to be seen. And then also in primary care, we're doing a ton of telemedicine visits, which through the help of our system, Maine Health, we set up several weeks ago. We trained our providers, our nurses, and other staff on telemedicine visits for, I would say, the more acute, not very high-level type of medical concern. And so that, among some other things, but those are the main things that we're doing right now. And again, we're already talking about, and I'm talking to our physicians and our nurse practitioners, our PAs, our administrative folks, about starting to think about a phased-in approach of starting to turn that faucet back on, if you will, so we can start seeing all the patients that we typically see each and every day here at Memorial. And more to follow on that, I don't have a date yet. From Art Matheson's standpoint, I want to move quickly, because I know after a month, there are people that want to get in to see their orthopedic surgeon, their general surgeon, their primary care provider. I had somebody that talked to me yesterday when I was driving by and saw her and talked for a minute about, I really need to get in to get this procedure done. And what we're finding is a month ago, when we looked at what was going on and we had COVID-19 looking us square in the face, we really wanted to shut as much that down as far as care, clinical care that we felt we could do safely for our patients. And now when we're looking at the landscape going forward, we're saying, well, maybe some things a month ago that we didn't do now are becoming more urgent that we probably should consider doing very soon for some of these patients out there that need that direct care. And so we're looking at that, and hopefully in the near future we can start ramping things up.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult.
Greg, this is Matt. I also wanted to echo what Art said, particularly about primary care, that if patients of ours that see our primary care have ongoing needs and issues and they feel like they want to be seen, they should call our offices. As Art said, we're doing a lot of telehealth visits every day, but we are seeing patients, and patients should feel comfortable knowing we've taken every measure to keep them safe. And the concern is that, you know, patients will have issues that are ongoing, they're chronic in nature, they won't want to come or talk to their office, and this could lead to worse outcome for their chronic health conditions. So I would definitely urge patients to contact their primary care office here and have those discussions.
So basically, if you have conditions that you're dealing with aside from COVID, that you want to make sure patients are still accessing you and talking to the hospital.
Absolutely. And honestly, that's one of the things we learned from, you know, from watching what happened in Seattle, that the downstream of that is they did not continue a lot of their chronic disease management, and it became very challenging for them in the weeks and now looking into months after this happened. So we want to make sure that the community understands our primary care is here, and that they should call and they'll have those discussions about what's the most appropriate way to talk to them about their chronic disease.
Okay, that sounds great. This is Greg Frizzell with Drive Time. I'm here with Art Matheson, the president of Memorial Hospital, Dr. Matt Dunn, the chief medical officer, and Will Owen, RN and emergency management coordinator. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, gentlemen, and do the news, and we'll be back and get some more questions.
Great. Sounds good.
Thank you.
I do want to remind you people that you can text in 603-356-9145 and join our conversation. If you have any question at all for Memorial Hospital, now is the time to ask. 603-356-9145. You can text us, you can call us, you can also email us, office@wmwv.com. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, Greg Frizzell here with you, general manager and owner of the Mount Washington Radio Group with a special Drive Time. Our guests on Drive Time tonight that we've been speaking with, Art Matheson, president of Memorial Hospital, Dr. Matt Dunn, the chief medical officer, and Will Owen, RN and emergency management coordinator. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, Greg. Good to be here.
Okay, so we did have some, we have some questions here. We had some listeners texting in over the break.
Okay.
One says, are there any antibodies being tested yet?
Hey, Greg. Yeah, that's a great question because I know that's been out there in the media. And so I'll say from a system perspective, the answer is no. I'll tell you where we are with Nordex, though. You know, there are a lot of serology or antibody tests that have come across nationally. The FDA is in the process of trying to clear these. Nordex has acquired one, and they are in the process of doing validation studies. The validation studies allow us to understand the characteristics of the test, allow us to compare it to the current molecular test, and then understand how we would use that. Just like the current test, which is testing giving us a positive or negative, this is such a new test that I'm sure as this rolls out nationally, we'll see challenges in how to interpret it. But the basic idea of the antibody test is it will allow us two things. One, it'll allow us to compare results in patients that are currently positive and understand their antibodies. Again, those are the things we develop in our immune system, as well as potentially people who may have immunity. And I'll say may because I addressed that earlier. We just don't understand, but it'll at least allow us to know patients or people who have had the disease. As well as those that have developed some immune response to it.
Okay, that's great. Then we had another question. Someone said that they're a essential worker in the Valley and they're around the public in their job, and they wanted to know the best way to protect themselves. They said they're actually getting quite scared, you know, with the surge coming up, and so they were looking for ways to help protect themselves while they're out working.
Yeah, And I certainly understand that fear and challenge, kind of being out in the community and being here. And really the safest thing for people, is to be distanced if you can. Hand washing and hygiene, avoid touching your face. And the masking guidance that out there is certainly helpful. It does protect for large droplets if you happen to be very close or near people. And that's why you're starting to see things at, you know, Hannaford and Home Depot where they're building, you know, plexiglass shields or they're wearing masks so they can continue to work in those jobs to provide services. But in just like, you know, in influenza, and again, there's probably different characteristics in terms of how this is spread and who gets infected, it really is the close contact, the hand hygiene, and the touching of the face that is the most challenging.
Okay. And another one talking about where places where the virus is in full swing are reporting a shortage of supplies. How are the Memorial stockpiles holding up at this point?
Okay, I can speak to that, I think, pretty well. The bottom line is right now the supplies across the board are holding up well. We are looking at all the supplies that we use regularly each and every day. We have a system-level incident command briefing at 1 p.m. goes anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes. And our supply logistics folks at the system level provide an update across the board on where we're at. And then we also have the ability and look regularly where we're at Memorial to ensure once, for example, we start to get low on mass that we get a resupply from the system level down to us. And so we're doing well, but we still want to be smart on our usage. And one thing I think that's important for the listeners to know is we recently, as of about a week ago, we upped our policy on masking. Essentially, the decision was made at the system level. I was part of that decision to mask everybody that enters our hospital. And so what I say to people is every human being that comes into our hospital has to have a mask. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we have masks to burn, but what we've decided is because of the great work by our system logistics folks to get in a good number of masks that we're able to do that. We felt it was best for the safety of everybody that we continue to do that. I would also like to thank the community for the cloth masks that they've provided. Those masks are a worst case scenario type of mask. We typically will not use them until if we were to run out of our normal surgical mask. What we've done with a lot of those masks that the community members have made for us is we have given them to our staff to take home and wear outside of the hospital, and also to have their family members have cloth masks as well, because the way we look at it is if our team members here go home or go to wherever they need to go when they're not in the hospital and they're safe and they don't get the virus, then they get to come back to work and do great things here taking care of our community. And so I want to say thanks to all the folks in the community in the Valley that have donated masks and many, many other things to include food. I tell you, what it tells to our staff is, one, it gives them energy, makes them feel appreciated, and makes them feel a part of the community. It makes them feel like what they're doing really means something. And so can't thank the community enough for all that they're doing for our hospital.